Boker Tov, everybody, and ready. I don't know, this is part, I lost count, but it doesn't, and our continuing. But where, what part?
Number 15.
Number 15. Number 15 on Sefer Dvarim. There are only 12 parshiyot, or 11. 11, and then if the Tzavim Ve'Ela count as one, it's 10, whatever. So, but we're at the Parshat Hazino today. It's the most misunderstood book. Of course, Rabbi Liebtag sort of coordinating the end parts of Dvarim with the time of the year. So it's a pleasure to welcome him back. And as we learn the process, the concept of Tshuva and Shirat Hazino, which is also, of course, this week's Parshat HaShavua. Bakasha, Rabbi.
Okay, thank you, Rabbi. And in case I run out of time at the end, I wish you ahead of time, everyone, a Gemar Chatima Tova. Now, I'll just share my screen and we'll get to work. Class number 15. Okay. So today's class number 15, as he said, Shirat Hazino, and we'll use it to understand the concept of Tshuva, which is, of course, timely. Okay. So in general, I'll begin with this following assumption. Most of us have heard of Shirat Hazino. I'm talking about like the average people who listen to the Torah in Motion Shiurim. You've heard of Shirat Hazino, but ask anybody, what is Shirat Hazino about? What's its topic? And you probably get either a blank, either it's not reward and punishment, but it's really hard to pinpoint what's the main topic of Shirat Hazino and what's it, why is it the end of Chumash? What's going on? And that's the goal of the Shir today, to understand what is it, why it's here, and what the topic is. Okay. It also gives us opportunity to understand the concept of Hester Panim, because Shirat Hazino talks about Hester Panim, and Hester Panim helps us understand maybe a little bit about Yom Kippur, and we'll see the Haftarah for Yom Kippur. That'll be the goal today, is to focus on the Haftarah for Shacharis. Everyone talks about Maftar Yonah, like he just had a series, a four-part series on Maftar Yonah, and but very few people even know where the Haftarah from Yom Kippur morning is from, Shacharis. I think it probably has the most important message of all of Yom Kippur for us. Okay. So we're going to start in Sefer Devarim. This should be really 30, but it's a typo. In chapter 31, verse 14. And basically, what I need to explain, let me stop the share for a minute. What I want to explain is that in many ways, starting Parshat Hazino and Parshat Hazino is the reason, one of the reasons why we don't understand it. Because Shirat Hazino really begins in the end of Parshat Vayelech, as we'll explain in a minute. Now, let me share my screen again and show you something. I'm going to go to the end of my source sheet. One second. Here we go. At the end of my source sheet, let me put this up here. Go all the way to the end. I did something. I know it's not in English, but I just want you to see the format. Okay. In chapter 3, but I want to appreciate basically the connection between the word Torah and Shira. We talked a lot about the word Torah. Remember, Torah is the main unit. Remember, Zotah Torah Shir Sam Moshe? According to Sefer Devarim, the Torah is a set of laws that Moshe teaches between chapters 5 and 26, which is followed by blessings and curses, which come with the Torah. And it's the laws that came with the Ten Commandments that Moshe received together with the Ten Commandments at Har Sinai 40 years earlier. Laws that need constant repetition. Moshe taught them many times. And Moshe is teaching them now for the last time a month before he dies. I think we probably explained that 20 times already. I'm sure that's everyone remembers that now. Now, so the Torah is over. We wrote it down. And now that the Torah is over and it's been written down, it's time to add Sefer Yoshua. I mean, it's time to call in Yoshua and teach the people what's called Shirat Hazino. So I want to follow the flow. The last mitzvah, which we've talked about, of Sefer Dvarim, less specific, which makes a lot of sense, is Hakel. Remember, Moshe calls Yeshua. This is in Pasuk Zion in chapter 31. Moshe calls Yeshua, tells him Chazak v'yamatz. Then Moshe writes down this Torah. Let me get my annotator here. Moshe writes down the Torah. Remember, Zotah Torah, this Torah, from chapter 5 to 26. He gives it to the Kohanim b'nei Levi, who carry the Aaron, and the elders of Israel. And Moshe commands them, every 7 years, gather the nation together for Hakel. We're going to relive Mamad Har Sinai. And it makes sense that after teaching the Torah, Moshe tells the people, as a nation, we're going to relive Mamad Har Sinai every 7 years in the Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. The first time around in Har Eval, as we begin conquering the land. Afterwards, once we get the place that God's going to choose, HaMakom Hashem, it'll happen there. And that'll be every 7 years, sort of a recharge of Mamad Har Sinai. Now, That ended with Pasuk Yud Gimel. Here's where Shirat Hazinu begins, and listen one. Pasuk Yud Dalet. Vayomer Hashem and Moshe in Kibbu Yomecha Lamot. It's time for you to die. Therefore, call Yeshua, Yeshua, your successor. I want you and Yeshua to come, I call it a huddle, come together and stand in front of God in the tent of meeting, in the Omoed. Va'at Sedeno. Why am I making a big deal of that? God tells Moshe, I'm going to command Yeshua. And therefore, Moshe goes in Yeshua and they stand in Olam Moed. Stop here for a minute. What should happen next? God tells Moshe, Rabbeinu, it's time for you to die. Bring in Yeshua to a, I call that Hityachadu, to, in the Olam Moed, in the tent of meeting, and stand in front of God. I'm going to command Yeshua. I'm going to give him a command. And Moshe and Yeshua go and they stand in Olam Moed. It should be the command to Yeshua. What happens instead? God appears in Olam Moed, as he said he would. But instead of giving a command to Yeshua, God talks to Moshe. Got it? And therefore, I'm just putting that in small print. And after God talks to Moshe and tells him something, which we'll see soon, which is the introduction to Shirat Hazinu, Moshe writes down the Shira that God told him to teach and teaches to Bnei Israel. And only after that, after God talks to Moshe by himself, then God commands Yeshua, Chazak ve'amatz. So watch what I want to do. If I read this in order, God tells Moshe, it's time for you to die. Come with Yeshua. I'm going to command Yeshua. And they stand there. And then, 20 psukim later, Vaitzav et Yeshua benun, and this is God talking. We'll prove in a minute. God commands Yeshua benun, Chazak ve'amatz, in the Ohel Moed. God's talking directly to Yeshua. Because you're going to bring the earth, asher nishbati them, bo'onuchi eyeimach. That's God talking. Then, after that commandment, Moshe finishes writing down the Torah like we said before. He commands Levim to take the Sefer Torah and teach it. Got it? And again, he tells them to teach, gather the nation together, all the elders, and speak to them in their ears, all these Dvarim, which I think is the laws of Dvarim. And in addition to that, I'm going to warn them with the Shema Ba'aretz, explaining why. After Moshe commands Levim to teach the Torah, then Moshe tells the nation, teaches them Shirat Hazinu. And when Shirat Hazinu is over, we summarize, Moshe and Yeshua teach Shirat Hazinu, Huv Yeshua Benun, teach the song. And then we go back to Moshe writing down all these things and mention to this Torah that I'm teaching today. Meaning, what happens is we have like two or three times we summarize that Moshe is teaching the Torah. But as he teaches the Torah one last time, we add to it the Shira. Now, in light of that, we have to understand what's the purpose of the Shira. It's not part of the Torah. It's an addition to the Torah. It's an add-on. I'm going to call it a parody bit. I'll try to explain what that means later on. It's going to be an addition to the Torah. There's going to be something extra, like a special add-on to the Torah that's necessary for its continuity. Now, in light of that, let's go back now, and now we'll read inside with English Hebrew. Let's read. Let's go back and see. What is God talking to Moshe privately about before Yeshua gets the command to bring the people into Israel? Got that? I want to make sure that's clear. The main thing God wants to do is transfer leadership to Yeshua. God's going to command you. It's your job to take over from Moshe. Yeshua has to bring the people into the land. And God will be with Yeshua. He has to take over the job that Moshe began. He has to finish it. But before that happens, God has to sell something to Moshe Rabbeinu, which will lead us into Shirat Hazinu. So in light of that, let's go back now. That was the end of the source sheet. Let's go back now and read the introduction. And we have to figure out what is Shirat Hazinu about. Okay, so we did all this. So God tells Moshe, it's time for you to die. I'm going to command Yeshua. And then God appears to in the Olam Moed. And now let's see what God is telling Moshe. Rabbeinu Pasuk Tetzan. V'yomer Hashem Moshe. Hincha shochev b'mavotecha. Means it's time for you to die. And what's going to happen? The kama amaze v'zana achrei Elohim nechar ha'aretz asheru b'shamad b'kirbo v'zavani v'avir b'riti ha'shto. I'm going to explain like the Rambam in Hilchot Tshuva. God's not saying what will happen, what's bound to happen. In the laws of Tshuva, the Rambam, in chapters 5 and 6, he talks about freedom of choice, and he asks the famous question. He has two questions. How can God punish Pharaoh for enslaving the Jewish people? He told Avram in Brit Ben Abtarim it's going to happen. And then he says, how can God punish Am Yisrael in the time of the Shoftim for sinning? He told Moshe it's going to happen. So the Rambam explains, God isn't saying it will happen. He's saying it's bound to happen. Like when you have a teenager growing up, he's bound to talk back. He's bound to do something wrong. Doesn't mean he has freedom of choice, but there's certain things that are bound to happen. And therefore, God is warning Moshe Rabbeinu, here's what's bound to happen. Not for sure it will, and that doesn't have to, but it's bound to happen. And you need to know that because you have to know what to do when it does happen. You have to be ready for trouble. And therefore, God tells Moshe privately, what's bound to happen? The people are bound to go astray. You know, you're with them in the desert, all these miraculous things. When you get to the land of Israel, things will settle down. People will go astray. It's bound to happen. And they'll break my covenant. Now, if they break my covenant, the entire reason I'm giving them the land is so they represent me and they keep my laws. If they break my covenant and don't keep my laws and follow other gods, I have to punish them. There's no way the Jewish people can remain in Israel and not do a good job representing God. Therefore, I have to give them a wake-up call. We talked about this, the theme of Malchiyot before, that if there's trouble happening, God was standing it. That was our topic last week. Therefore, what's God say? What will I need to do should they go astray? B'chara bo b'yomahu, that's Charon Af. That's God's midot of din. We talked about that. But that's God's attribute of judgment, not mercy. God will have to get angry at them, Charon Af, as opposed to Erech Apayim. I'll have to abandon them because they've left me. And I'm going to hide my face from them. We'll see in a minute what it means God's going to hide his face from them. They'll be eaten up by their enemies. All these terrible things will happen. That's pretty much a summary about the tochacha, of the warning we had in Parshat Ki Tavo in chapters 27 and 28. Now, here's the big key. The Amar Bayomahu. Let me highlight this now. Let's get my annotator and my marker. Okay. The Amar Bayomahu. And they'll say on that day, on what day? On the day that I hide my face from them and punish them, right? What will the people say? Haloki eno lahabi kirbi matzaoni harote ele. There's two ways to understand this pasuk. I'll explain it the way most parshanim do. Think the people, this is not repentance. They're not going to say, oh, it's my fault. They're saying it's God's fault. This is the most important point. God's telling Moshe Rabbeinu, what's bound to happen? You're going to come to land. I'm going to have to punish you for your bad behavior when you go astray. When I punish you, you're going to pray to me for help. I'm not going to answer your prayer. We'll see, that's going to be Hester Panim. And when you lose your battles and things go bad and God doesn't answer your prayer, what conclusion will you reach? Why are all these bad things happening to me? Because my God is not with me. They're blaming their mistakes on God. That's the big danger. We're afraid there's a danger when you punish someone. So God wants to punish us as a wake-up call. That was Zichronot. Now, what's God saying? There's a danger when God punishes us, the Jewish people. If they don't get the message, if they're not proper teachers, the people are going to be punished by God to take away the punishment, but they're not going to do proper tshuva. This is the concept of tshuva, which is key for my share for understanding Yom Kippur. Meaning, it'll happen that we're going to turn to God when God brings the punishment. We're going to ask him, you know, stop the drought, stop the epidemic, stop the famine, stop the war. But we're not going to introspect. We're not going to do zichronot. We're not going to ask ourselves, what are we doing wrong? We're going to pray to God to help us. A direct prayer. God won't answer the prayer because we didn't fix our ways. When God doesn't answer our prayer, they're going to blame the trouble in God. And therefore say, what? Why are these bad things happening? My God's not with me. That's going to bring them to other gods. And they'll start looking. That's what happens all through Tanakh. They start turning to gods of Ashur and gods of Babel, all the Canaanite gods. When their God doesn't help them, they'll turn. You go to whoever can help you. And now, should they do that, God will get even more angry. When they go astray and they don't, and they blame God for the problem and not themselves, then I have to continue to hide my face from them for all the evil they did because they turned to other gods. Because when you place your God with, you don't like your God, you go to other gods. And that's going to bring us into what I call a catch 22, maybe a sichur. We're going to go into a spiral. That's probably the better word. Where in Yiddish it's called playing broigas. They still use that word in Yiddish when a family's broigas. When both sides are, no matter what each side's doing, you just, everyone disagreeing with the other side all the time. We're constantly blaming God. What kind of God are you? You're not helping us. And God say, what kind of people are you? You're not keeping my laws. You're not representing me properly. And we're going to reach an impasse where we can't get out of it. We're not going to do proper tshuva, and God's not going to give us another chance. And that's called Hester Panim, where God doesn't answer prayer because we didn't do proper tshuva. Okay. Now, what's the solution to this impasse where we're blaming God and God's blaming us? Should this happen? Let's clear the drawings and go back to my mouse. And therefore, for this situation, therefore, you, we'll see in a minute, you together with Yeshua, write down this song and teach it to Bnei Israel, but I'm not Bnei Israel, put it in their notes. They have to know the song by heart. This song is going to be the reminder. This Shira Tezinu is written for what situation? Where the people are blaming God for their fault. They're blaming their problems on God instead of blaming themselves, which is our, we do that from a young age. Something goes wrong, you blame somebody else. What I want to claim here, based on this introduction, Shira Tezinu is there to counter who to blame when Jewish history goes bad. Are you blaming what kind of God are you, or do you blame yourself? That's exactly, that was Zichronot. When, if God's going to bring a punishment, it's for us to do tshuva and introspect and ask, what are we doing wrong and fix our ways? And we said that over and over again last week. We pray to God to understand what we're doing wrong, fix our ways, and then God will answer our prayers. But if we just pray to God directly to solve our problems and don't fix our ways, God's not going to answer that. Or he might not answer that. Depends, you know, if that's Dina Rachamim. Now, when will this happen? Okay. Because when I'm going to bring them to the land and they're going to have prosperity, they'll have Eretz Zavat, they'll have this beautiful land. If you remember your Sefer Dvarim, as opposed to instead of eating and then thanking God for your prosperity, you're going to become prosperous, affluent, and obnoxious. Okay, and then you're going to turn to other gods and serve them, and you're going to break my brit. You're going to take your prosperity, instead of using it to serve God, you can use it to serve yourself. And that, and by thus, you'll be breaking the covenant and the purpose of the covenant. And then what happens? I'm going to have to punish you for your affluence and for your haughtiness and for your lack of social justice. Right? I'll have to send punishments. Okay? Then whenever you're in trouble and you want to know who to blame, this song, which you maybe didn't understood, but you knew it by heart, but you might not have understood it, then you pay attention to the words of the song, and the song is going to remind you who to blame when something goes wrong. Why? Ki adati et Yitzro, because I know the nature of man. I know, remember we had this after the flood. Yetzer Adam before the flood was Rak Rak Kol Hayom. After the flood, Yetzer Adam is Ra Minu Rav. He starts off bad, but he can fix things. We're living in a world of tikkun, of tshuva. And therefore, I know man is, as a nation as well, not just individuals, but as the people, you're bound to go astray. Okay. And I know it's bound to happen before I bring him done. God's expecting things to go wrong. And that's a big theme in Chumash, that God doesn't want perfection. He wants repentance. We're living in, remember how I wrote Sebe Tshuva? God, it's through repentance, that's how we grow. We learn from our mistakes and we grow. God wants people, doesn't expect us not never to make a mistake, but we're supposed to learn from our mistakes and grow from them and introspect, and that's how we grow. There's always room for tshuva. So that's the purpose of the Shira. Therefore, Moshe writes down the Shira, right? And he teaches Bnei Israel. That's God telling Moshe Rabbeinu sort of privately. Maybe Yeshua overhearing it, but that's the message to Moshe Rabbeinu. But it's not a public message. Why? Because you don't tell people as they begin their thing, you're bound to fail. You don't discourage people so early on. Like the same thing happens in the army sometimes. Like when the general is talking to the high-ranking officers, he's saying, listen, we're bound to run into trouble. There's going to be lots of casualties and things like that. But don't tell that to your soldiers. I'm telling you so you know what to do when that happens. I'm going to give you, when things get really bad, here's a backup plan or something like that. Here's something you can use. But don't tell your soldiers things are bound to fail. You know, encourage them. Things will go great. But as officers, you have to be ready to know what to do when things go bad. Therefore, after God tells that to Moshe, he commands Yeshua, it's your job, Chazak Vemas, especially after hearing this, be strong. Right? You're going to lead them into the country that I promised your forefathers. I'll be with you. And that, now we're finished. Now we summarize. Moshe finishes writing down the Torah. Got it? And Moshe commands Levim, like we had before Hakel. Moshe, again, commands Levim, take the Sefer Torah that he just finished writing, all the laws he just taught over and over again, put it next to the Aron in the Kodesh Kodeshim. That'll be the reminder. And we'll see in a minute, it seems like there'll be a copy of Shirat Hazinu is going to go with it. Okay? Because God's got, what's God telling Moshe Rabbeinu? What's Moshe telling the Levim? Now he's telling the, again, the teachers, the education staff, the same thing God told him, he's telling the education staff. Remember, God just told Moshe Rabbeinu, they're bound to sin. Therefore, Moshe tells him, take this Torah, okay, put it by the Aron, it'll be the warning. Because I know that people are going to go, they'll be B'nai Meri, they're going to be rebellious, they're going to have stiff necks. While I'm still alive, I know it's bound to happen, because in my whole career, Moshe says, you've been rebellious people since the time I know you. We had that over and over again in chapter 9, remember? You went to a whole exhortation about that back in chapter 9. Therefore, he says, he tells Levim, gather all the nation, all the elders together. Okay? And I'm going to tell them all these words. I'm going to warn them with the Shemayim Ba'aretz. And that takes us into Shirat Hazinu. Why do we need it? I need Shirat Hazinu as a safety net. Why? Because I know after I die, things are going to go bad. Remember, that's the same words from the Mabul, the same words from Chet HaEgel. You're going to go astray. All these bad things are going to happen, like I warned you in Parshat Ki Tavo, in the Tochacha. Okay? When you do evil, and I need to make sure that when I punish you, and it could be you don't do proper tshuva and I won't answer your prayers, you have to be there for me. And yet this shira is going to answer who's to blame when things go wrong. And therefore, in light of that, Moshe now teaches the people the song. Now, Moshe doesn't give the people the introduction. The people have to learn the song. It's something I remember growing up. There's a lot of songs people know. You know the words by heart. You have no idea what they mean. The classic example is, Rockabye Baby, something like that. There's all these children rhymes and things like that, which actually their messages are really bad. But they're songs that people just learn by heart when they're young. And you only understand the meanings of them later on. Even davening, when you grow up young, you had all the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur tunes. And you have no idea what the words mean. You just know they're really nice songs. Only when you get older, oh, that's what the word means. Or that's what the words mean. So there's words in the song that are meaningful. So now let's take a look at the song. I need to prove to you now in Shirat Hazinu that the purpose of Shirat Hazinu, it carries a message for who to blame when something goes wrong. All we need to do is read it. Now, the first two lines is an introduction. Very poetic. Now, listen up, Shemayim Ba'aretz. Why we go to Shemayim Ba'aretz? I think we'll have to do this year when we get to, I might do another one or two Shirim on Devarim as we start Sefer Breshit, because there's a lot of things from Breshit that Devarim is based on. The idea of Shemayim Ba'aretz being the beginning of Chumash and the end of Chumash, you can't miss that. That's sort of be obvious. Shirat Hazinu being a call to Shemayim Ba'aretz, being the last topic and the last warning, matching the beginning of Chumash, there's something that's tying Chumash together, but not for today. And this is let my words flow, okay? And all these beautiful imagery of rain and dew and things flowing on and growth. That's the opening words. And then the famous line, which we're all familiar with, before he teaches, the song's going to begin in Pasuk Dalet. The first three lines, Aleph, Bet, and Gimel. These three lines are, let me get my annotator. Here we are. These first three lines are introductory. Got it? Their introduction. The Shira begins in Pasuk Dalet over here. Now, the last introduction is, whenever I mention God's name, praise the Lord. Meaning, remember, our custom of saying Baruch Hu, Baruch Shmo, as Rashi points out, is based on this. It means Moshe is about to teach a song. And whenever, when Moshe is teaching the song, he tells the people, whenever I mention God's name, praise God. By the way, this custom is not only in Judaism, also in, there were times I was teaching a non-Jewish group, a Christian group, and every time you mention God from a certain, like, you know, area, certain churches, you, when you speak to them and the pastor, the speaker, not even when he mentions God by name, even when he just refers to God, the whole congregation stands up and say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. You might have seen that on TV or you might have seen that in person, but that custom is very much based on what happens in Chumash. When you mention God's name, praise him. But that's a introduction to the song. Now the song begins. Now we can start our study. Let's go and clear the drawing and move on. Okay. Let's begin with the opening statement. Hatsur, that's referring to God. The rock is referring to God. Tamim polo. Before we start, let's get things straight. God is perfect. We're not perfect, but God's perfect. Remember, when something goes wrong, who's to blame? So let's get the rules straight. God is always right. God is perfect. Why? He called Rechav Mishpat. All of his ways are just. Ela munah vein avel, tzadik v'yasharu. Pasuk Dalet is simply focusing on God is always right. Never blame God. God's always right. Now, in contrast, shichet lo, here's a question mark right here. Here we need to put a question mark. Shichet lo, even the English translation has it. When things go bad, remember, kashchet tishkitun, when things go bad, things go degenerate. When things get out of hand, are we going to blame God for the problem? The answer is no, lo. But nabumam, the people to blame are his children. Remember, banim atem lashem elokechem in Sefer Devarim, like children to God. Don't blame God, blame his children, blame his nation, the people, a crooked and perverse generation. And here it's explicit now. Are you going to blame your problems on God? Is God to blame for when things go wrong? You foolish people, I'm nevav v'lo chacham. There's no reason for God to punish you for no reason. If there's punishment, you must have done something wrong. God made you, he chose you to serve him. And he uses punishment as a wake-up tool. He doesn't punish you for no reason. If there's a punishment, there's a reason. You have to search, what are we doing wrong? It's not always so easy to know what we're doing wrong. That's why the Levites, who are in charge of education, that's why they write later Sefer Tehillim. That's why they sing Tehillim, which is a lot of musar to the people, a lot of rebuke. But when things go wrong, we have to ask ourselves, how can we do better? What is God not happy with? For that, we need Devim. For that, we have to study Chumash. And that's what the rest of Tanakh is going to be about. Now he gives a guideline, what you need to do to remember this point, that God, now he's always right. If things go wrong, God is sending you a message. Again, we're talking about on the national level, not the personal level. He says, what? Zechor Yemot Olam, learn Jewish history. Binu Shnot Dovador. Look into or consider all the generations have gone by. Let's basically study your Chumash. Study all the events that happened. Look at your national history. Ask your parents, and they'll tell you. Your elders, they'll tell you. Study your tradition. Basically, learn Chumash. And it begins when God began civilization. Remember, God's name in Devarim is always El Yon in this context of, remember, it will be El Yon, remember, at the end of the speech. We're representing the God who's known as El Yon, the God above all the other gods. The only God, therefore, when God referred to him now as El Yon, remember, I'll give an example. The classic example when we talk about God as El Yon. In fact, the day of Shabbos, according to Mizmor Tzadibet, Psalm 92, is Mizmor Shema Shabbat, Tov Lodot Lashem, Ulazamer Leshimcha El Yon. Shabbos is the day to think about God's name, El Yon. Shabbos comes in, what malachim enter? Remember, Shal Malachim, Malachi Ashrei, Malachi El Yon. Angels sent by El Yon. El Yon is God's name, especially on Shabbat. Again, why? A different share. So, but El Yon here is God. When God set up the nations, when every nation got their portion, it's talking about Parshat Noach and the 70 nations after the flood. Barfrido b'nei Adam, remember that's after Migdal Bavel. Yetzev gvulot amim l'mispar b'nei Yisrael. He established our borders according to the number of b'nei Yisrael. The simple reason, the simple understanding there, if you go back to Bereshit, there's 70 nefesh that go down to Egypt, and there's 70 nations in Parshat Noach. The first 11 chapters of Sefer Bereshit end with the 70 nations. I think we talked about that some time ago. It was the universal section of Chumash, up to the middle of chapter 11. Ends with Migdal Bavel, is the spreading of 70 nations of chapter 10, spreading out. And when the book is over, when Am Yisrael is chosen, there's 70 nefesh going down to Egypt. But more than that, if you remember, the Shem Cham and Yafet, the descendants of Ham go to Egypt, pretty much. Of Shem go to the Near East and to Asia and Mesopotamia. And the descendants of Yefet go to Europe. And Am Yisrael is located smack in the middle between all of them. So he's saying God was behind our history. And there's a reason not only that he chose us, there's a reason he gave us the land of Israel in a specific location. It's a prime location to get our job done. Now, of all the portions that all the nations got, ki chelak Hashem amo, the portion of God representing God will be his nation. And with in a parallel way, Yaakov chevel nachalato, the chevel nachala, the portion, the lot of God's inheritance will be the house of Yaakov. Now we go through what happened in the desert. God found us in the desert. This is the Zechorei Tam Olam. He found us in the wilderness, in the Yishimon is not really wilderness, it's in the land, in the wasteland. Okay. And he watched over us, he took care of us. And I'll explain how Yoel Ben Nun explains Pasuk Yud Aleph in a beautiful way. Like the eagle wakes up its nest. Okay. He flies over. The gozal is a baby eagle. It's a baby bird. What happens? Okay. He spreads his wings and he takes him and he carries him. Now, Evroto. Okay. I'm not sure with English. I'll explain how Rabbi Yoel Ben Nun explains this. He says, when you watch eagle or nesher, whatever the nesher is, griffin vulture, I forget what they call it in English, but the nesher doesn't carry its babies on its wings. It picks them up with their claws. And when the baby birds are born, when they're hatched, they have to learn how to fly. So when you watch eagles, when you watch the nesher, when a baby is hatched, the parent takes its claws, takes the gozal, takes the baby bird out of the nest, lets go of him about a half a meter away and has him fly back to the nest. Then he picks him up again a meter away and lets go. And then 2 meters away. Basically, the nesher teaches its children, the baby birds, how to fly. And God is using that analogy, what the purpose of the desert was. It was a training experience for you to be independent. In the desert, God took care of everything for you. Little by little, he's weaning you on your dependence on God so that you can be self-dependent. You have to make your own food. You'll take care of yourself, but treat it as though God gave it to you. We saw that message many times in Sefer Devarim. In fact, next week, Sharon Sukkot will relate to that, exactly that thing. So he's saying, look at your history and look how God has been training you. And he wants you to be on your own, but he wants you to be mature and act properly. And God watched over us, okay? But now once we get to the land, now we talk about what's bound to happen. We're going to get to the Bamot Aretz, the hilly land. And we're going to be satiated with our prosperity. And we're going to drink or suck honey out of the rock. Basically, we're going to have this prosperous land. It will be great. You know, milk and honey. Lots of cattle. Lots of rams. Lots of meat. Basically, we're going to have a good life. Lots of grain. Lots of wine. This is the best blessing you could have. Now, what should Am Yisrael do with that blessing? If you follow Dvarim, build a kind society, help those in need, have social justice. Instead, what's going to happen, what might happen, Vaishmani Shurun Vaivat. Remember that was Vachal Vasavah Vadashen in the introduction. Israel's going to go astray. They'll go fat, they'll become affluent. Shamanta Vita Kasita. They'll be fat, okay? And they're going to abandon God who made them, and they're going to sort of make God look bad. The rock, God, who saved them and took care of them, they'll forsake him. Okay. And then what will God do? Okay. They're going to get God angry by following other gods instead with their bad behavior. They'll get him angry. They might turn to other gods, you know, gods of prosperity, things like that. And then, even though God made you, mindful of what happened, you're going to forget the God who made you. And then God's going to get angry. Okay. God will get angry caused by their behavior. And what's he going to say? Astir panai mehem erabai chritam. To punish them, I'm going to hide my face from them. Okay? And then we're going to get to this whole problem of hester panim. Now, I want to prove to you from later on in Tanakh that this hester panim, which he talked about in the introduction, is not God not watching, but rather God not answering prayer. That's a key point I want to make. I want to bring several proofs from later on in Tanakh that hester panim is not God's not watching. God is not answering prayer because Am Yisrael didn't internalize the punishment. God's going to bring a punishment for the bad behavior. When things go bad, we're going to turn to our God. Our God won't listen to us because we didn't do proper tshuva. We didn't repent properly. And we're going to get angry with God because he doesn't answer our prayers. And God has to explain now why he's not answering prayer. And that's hester panim. Now I'm going to bring some examples. First of all, this explanation I'm going to follow the Ibn Ezra. What's Baruch Yasseh Hester? He says explicitly, I'm not making it up. How does Ebenezer explain? What's it mean? God's going to hide his face? Should they call to me in prayer? I will not answer them. Acting like someone who doesn't see. God hears it, but he doesn't answer the prayer. Because God hears. God doesn't disappear. God's always there. When God doesn't answer prayer, that's Hester Panim. So we saw that in Shira Tazinu. We just saw that. Remember, Ve'amer Astira Panayimahem? We just saw that in the Shira. Now, in Sefer Tilim, I'll give an example from the David Hashem Ori. Remember Tilim Chavzayim? I'm not bringing English because you know this by heart, hopefully, from you've been saying it since over a month already. Remember, Shema Hashem Kol Yekra. We ask God, listen to our voice, listen to our prayers. Give us Chanina. Chanina is answer. Be merciful and answer. Lecha Amar Alibi. Bakshu Panai. I'm turning to you, God, for help. I'll test their panach imeni. In the context, I'm turning to you in prayer to help me and say, we're answering, don't hide your face from us, means don't give me a bad answer. Don't not answer my prayer, answer my prayer. So here, Esther Panim in the context of tefillah. I'll give you another example. And we say this in the morning in Mizmor Lamed. Hashem birsoncha hemad teos, yistar tepanach itivha. You hurt your face from me? I go crazy. Instead, elech Hashem ekra. I'm going to turn to you in prayer. Again, I go crazy if I turn to you and you don't answer me. Now, the best one example is the famous song. This is the Gush Katif song. Tfilah la'ani ki atof, lifnei Hashem yishpoch sicho. This is the tfilah, someone down, turns to God, throws his, pours out his heart to God. Hashem shima tfilati, v'shavati elecha tavo. God, we pray to God, shomet, answer our prayer. I'll test their panach mimeni. I'm trying to show you over and over again. It's their panim in contrast to tefillah. Now, I want to bring the best example from Yeshayahu, which is going to take us to the Haftarah for Yom Kippur. Okay? In Yeshayahu Nuntet, I'm going to show you how important the perek is. In fact, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to change my, I'm going to open up an English Hebrew Tanakh. I should have put it there before. And I'll look at the chat in a minute. Let's open up a Bible. Here we go. We were in Yeshayahu 59, right? Yeshayahu 59, okay? It begins as follows. This is the chapter after the Haftarah for Yom Kippur. We're going to go back to 58 in a minute. Listen to the opening statement, okay? Hein lo katzra yad Hashem hoshia. God's hand is not too short to help. Meaning, if God's not helping you, it's not because his hand is too short and can't reach. V'lo kavda azno mishmoa. Nor is he hard of hearing. His ears are not heavy from hearing. Again, we're using human terms to describe God. I think it's called anthropomorphism, something like that. Maybe that's, I forgot what the right word is in English. But we're describing God in human terms. If God's not helping us, it's not because he's hard of hearing or he's not able to reach us. Why isn't God helping? This is exactly what I told you. Ki im avonotechem ayum mabdilim beinechem levein Elohechem. The reason why God's not helping you, what's the mechitza? What's the barrier between you and God? Your sins, your bad behavior. It's your iniquities that are dividing between you and God. V'chatotechem histiru panim mikem mishmoa. I think that's icing on the cake to prove my point, isn't it? It's your sins that are causing God to hide his face from listening. Doesn't that prove my point? Hester panim is when God doesn't listen to prayer. God hears prayer, he doesn't answer prayer. That's Esther Panim. And when God doesn't answer prayer, it's because we're not deserving of his help, because he's using Midat Hadin, because we didn't do proper tshuva. What's our sin? Ki kapechem nigalu badam. It's not just idol worship. We don't care about human life. Vespotechem bavon. Your fingers are full of iniquity. Siftotechem dibru shaker. Everyone's lying. Not telling the truth. Loshonchem avla tege. Everyone's murmuring lashon hara, bad things about other people. Okay? Ain't koy b'tzedek. There's no one like Rabbi. No, Rabbi Kama. There's no one calling out for social justice. Okay. Ain't nishpat b'muna. That judgment's not done with truth. B'toach atov v'daber shav horu amal v'leidavim. If the society is full of corruption and mischief, it goes on and on about how bad things are. Ragleim l'ra yorutzu. Right. They're going evil ways. Yavaru d'shpoch dam naki. Innocent people are dying. The people planning how to rip other people off. Shod v'shever misilatam, robbing, stealing. Derech shalom lo yidu, they don't know how to make peace, they're fighting all. Ein mishpat, okay? All their ways are crooked. Al kein rachak mishpat mimeno. It goes on and on. He's complaining about a corrupt society. He goes on and on. So if we're so bad, why doesn't God get rid of us? Okay, so he goes on. Vati emet nederet, these are great lines, right? Truth is totally missing. God's angry for the lack of justice. And then he sees there's no man standing up, no one giving musar, no one taking leadership. And then God has to come himself and come and punish. And he'll take care. So why does God save us? Now, the end of the parak, we say every day, most people don't realize where this is coming from. Everyone knows when at the very end of our prayer service for Shacharit. Remember, we finished Mones, we finished Tachnun. Show's over. We finished our prayer. We have the add-ons. Our last prayer, which is right before Kaddish Tidkabel, remember? Whenever we say Kaddish Tidkabel, that's the end of our prayer service. Everything else is an add-on. Remember, because Kaddish Tidkabel, Tidkabel Shloton, it's asking God to accept our prayers. Our prayer, our last prayer before our concluding Kaddish is Uvales Yom Goel, isn't it? Why did Chazal pick that in our davening? What's God saying? Don't give up hope. Redemption can come to Tzion. Redemption can come to Tzion. To Ulushave Pesha B'Yakov. God can bring redemption and will bring redemption, but for who? For people who do proper repentance. Ulushave Yakov V'Mashem. Why? Why does God just give up on us? Here's our argument with Christianity. Why? V'ani Zot Briti Otam Amar Hashem. I have a covenant with you, an eternal covenant, which we talked about. Remember, we talked about that in Brit Nitzavim. No matter how bad we are, God can't leave us and we can't leave him. We might get really angry and punish us. At some point, sooner or later, we got to get back together again. Okay? Ruchi Asher Alech or something b'ficha. The words I told you that I promise I'll never abandon you totally. You're always my people. Your goal always remains. Your destiny is always there. You have to live up to it. Therefore, lo yimushu b'ficham b'zaracham b'zaracham amar Hashem b'yatar olam. Don't forget what I'm teaching you. And the biggest danger and the thing that holds back Shuva, when people give up hope, it's over. We talked about that in Brit Nitzavim. No matter how bad Jewish history goes, Am Yisrael needs to know there's always room for proper tshuva. And I think I want to go back now to Yom Kippur. That's going to be one of the key themes of Yom Kippur, because we need to remember that no matter how bad things are, we'll never reach a point that God's abandoned us. There's, if we do proper tshuva, prayer alone is not enough. We've been saying that over and over again. Prayer, just help me, get me out of this. We can pray to help us do tshuva. But just prayer, take away our enemies, take away our trouble, take away the drought or the famine or the sickness. That's not enough. We have to introspect, ask ourselves, what are we doing wrong? Do our best to follow the Torah the best way possible, try to fix our society. And if we do that with sincerity and properly, with proper leadership, God promises he'll accept that and bring us back and lead us in a proper way again. Now, that was chapter 58. I'm using that to explain why we say Avodah Zarah every day at the end of Shacharit. Even if we don't say it Shacharit on Shabbat, we say it at Mincha as we end off the day. And it began with the idea of Hester Panim. It's what's causing God not to answer our prayer? It's our sins. Isn't that Shirat Hazino, the same thing? Why? Because what Shirat Hazino is saying, when things go wrong, don't blame God that God doesn't take care of you. God's sending you a wake-up call, you're just not getting the message. Now again, I don't always know exactly why God punishment, but there's no such thing as a punishment there's no reason for. We don't know on our own this or that. We can study Nevi'im and get a good idea of what things get. When we study Nevi'im, we have a pretty good idea of what things make God really angry and bring harsh punishments. But every generation has to introspect themselves and ask, what are they doing wrong? As opposed to what someone else is doing wrong. Now, I want to go back now to chapter 58, which is after. I'm sorry, let me go back to my, where it was before in Yishayahu. For those who don't remember, the Haftarah for Yom Kippur starts in the middle of chapter 57. We're not going to start there. That's a little too complicated. Remember, V'amar salu salu panu derech harimu misho derech hami. Okay. Kichom Hashem Ram V'nisa. That's a theme. Ram V'nisa is a big theme in Yishayahu. Back in chapter 2 and 3. Shochen Ad is from here. Remember, Shochen Ad comes from here with Kadosh Shmo. This all comes in davening. And God's looking for a daka and shval ruach. It was God's looking for the low people, for the people who are humble, and bring up the hearts of those depressed. He goes on. We're going to pick up in chapter 58. And now we can, that was 57. The Haftarah continues in 58, which is the main message. When you read this Haftarah, first of all, the fact that Chazal picked this Haftarah for Yom Kippur, they get a big, it's amazing. I call it almost the chutzpah of the machzer of our, to read this Haftarah on Yom Kippur, because the Haftarah is making fun of fast days. He's taking, we'll see in a minute, the Haftarah is making fun of phony fast days. He's making fun of Yom Kippur, basically. That's what Yishayahu is doing. So let's read from Pasuk Aleph in chapter 58. Krab, again, we're going to read this on Yom Kippur morning. Krab garon atachsof. God tells the Navi, cry out, scream out, right? Don't hold back at all. Lift up your voice. Because shofar harim kalecha, lift up your voice like a shofar. That's very meaningful. Could done this last week also for Rosh Hashanah. Right? A shofar being a call to tshuva. Give it to them. Tell them how bad they are. Let the people know. God's telling the Navi. Tell the people why they're being punished. Tell them why God is angry with them. Now the Navi is going to complain about what we call, I guess, the from people. I hope I'm not misunderstood. But the Navi is going to make fun now, or God's going to tell Yeshayahu, the people are coming to the temple in davening, and they think they're fine. And now he's going to attack the people who think they're close to God. V'oti, God's complaining now, V'oti, it's me, yom yom v'dushum, every day they're looking for me. V'dat racha yechpatsu, they're looking for the ways of God, they're looking for closeness to God, they're looking for spirituality. K'goy asher tzakasa, they're acting like they're a just nation. U'mishpat olav lo azav, they think that they're following God's laws properly. Yishaluni mishpatei tzedek, they're asking me all these questions, what's the right thing to do, what's the way to follow God? K'vat olim yechpatsu, they're looking for a closeness to God. They want God close to them. I call this spirituality. They want to be close to God. They want to have a relationship with God. They're looking for these religious highs, which is nothing wrong with, but that's level two. They're missing level one. Now God's going to quote the people. That's why I have it in yellow as opposed to yellow is what the people now are saying. God's quoting the people what they're saying. The people are saying, Lamad sabnu v'lo reita. The people are saying, how come we fasted and you didn't see? We fasted. Isn't that exactly Yom Kippur? That's why we read this. Remember, Inui Nefesh. The people are saying, we fasted in Yom Kippur. Well, we did Inui Nefesh, that's like I said. And it's though you didn't notice. That's what that's the people's complaint to God. And what does God answer? Are you enjoying fast days? Right? You love these fast days, but you keep your business. You keep on with your bad ways. Like you keep on taking advantage of you do what's no cases. You take advantage of other people. You oppress them. Okay? That these are rhetorical questions. He's not saying the hands here are these are it's heya sheila, but the rhetorical questions. Okay. Now God asks the people. Hein the rivu matzat tatsumer. Are you fasting so you continue to fight with one another? A matzah means not matzah, like eating matzah. This is a matzah in argument and strife. Okay? Are you fasting so you continue quarreling with one another, having fights in shul? Lakop begrof resha. Okay? Now, you have to understand. And hitting people with a wicked fist. Okay? It's not we're hitting with our fist wicked people. It's a grof resha. It's a wicked fist. And smite with the fist of wickedness. He's explaining. You guys are fasting, wanting God to help you, but behind your fast, what's your society doing? You're fighting with one another. You're beating up each other. You're hitting each other. Okay? He says, if you fast that way, God's not going to hear your voice. He won't hear your prayers. Okay? He says, again, it's a rhetorical question. Do you think this is the fast day that God wants? It's such a fast day that I've chosen? Yom anot adam nafsho. Do you think God wants you just to afflict your soul and fast and halachov kagmon rosho v'sak ve'efer yatzia to put your head down in a sackcloth with ashes to lower yourself? Halizetik ratzon yom ratzon Hashem. Again, rhetorically, do you think that's the fast day that God wants? Is that what God wants you to do? Just to fast all day, put yourself in sackcloth, feel like a nobody, be down on yourself? That's all that God wants you to do is afflict yourself? That's rhetorical. Now he gives the answer. This is the fast day that I want, God says. Okay? This is the fast day I want. Pateh chabutzot resha. Okay? Get rid of wickedness in your society. Hater agudot nota. Take those who are under yokes of oppression and let them free. Take people out of debt. Help people in trouble. V'shach rutzutim chavshim. People oppressed, let them go free. V'chol nota tenateku. Anyone and oppressed by anyone else or under stress, help them out. He continues, give food for those who are hungry. Not just feed the poor people, bring them to your home. People depressed, people down, who need social help, people socially poor. Bring them, do something with them, help them out. Someone can't afford clothing, help them with clothing. Okay, and take care of yourself and your own family as well. Now, if that's your fast day, if your fast day, of course, you're supposed to fast, but if your fast day is transformative And you use your fast day to fix your society, how can we better do a job of serving God as a people? Then your tefillah will be the azi bakaka shach orecha. Then your light will shine through like the morning sun. Then you have a healing. Okay. Then your glory, your righteousness will be your glory, and God's glory will be with you. And now comes the answer. Then when you call out to God, he won't master panim. Then God will answer your prayers. That's, prayer enough is not alone. Fasting is not enough. Fasting has to lead to introspection, a transformative understanding of your relationship. Fixing your ways, asking what we're doing wrong, again, as individuals and as a society, how can we make things better? Looking to Torah for guidance, looking to our Naveen for guidance. Right? Then, if that's your fast day, not just fasting technically, but a true fast, then when God calls out, he'll answer you. If you get rid of people pointing fingers, spreading wickedness, you know, pointing fingers and people being oppressed, get rid of that from your society, have a just society, that gives God a reason to answer your prayers. So I hope that was Yotze. I'm trying to bring a proof from Isaiah, how we understood Shirat Hazinu. And I think that's a really important concept for tshuva. No, the answer isn't, therefore don't fast. Okay. That's already the new, the more modern approach is, oh, who cares about fasting and ritual? Just be a good person. That's not the answer. God wants you to fast. But the fast has to be a transformative understanding of fixing your ways. What Yeshua was saying, I want you to fast to realize you're wasting your time fasting. But you have to fast. In other words, you have to fast to remember the fast is only a catalyst, but not the goal. But you need the fast to know what it feels like to be hungry. Knows what it feels like to suffer a little bit. So you appreciate other people better. So those are the, let me go back to my main source sheet now. Sorry, that was not my source sheet. Okay, share screen and I need my PDF file. Here we are. Okay. So that was that answer. Okay, that was our structure from this we did in the beginning of this year. And now I can take questions. So let me just summarize for a second. Let me take a look at the chat and then I'll summarize. Make sure I didn't miss anything. Okay, let's go to the beginning. Oh my gosh, all these questions. Okay, my sound. Is my sound okay, I hope? I think my sound's good. Okay, good. Okay, maybe it was a small thing, but I think it should be good now. Okay, here's the source sheets. Okay. Okay, whether God was born lame, whether God was born, I understand that, or shot itself in the foot. Okay, that I'm not going to get into theological questions about whether God hears or not. I'm trying to prove from Chumash that God always knows what's going on. And if he doesn't, when it says God is Master Panim, when he hides his face, it's not that he's not watching, it's that he's not answering prayer. That was my main point. And I tried to prove it from, you know, lots of different places in Tanakh, Bisli, and Tehillim, and Yeshayahu. Okay? So okay. Now, Jennifer, still confused. Why didn't God not eliminate us altogether when we kept sinning? Oh, exactly. Jennifer's question is exactly Shirat Hazinu. We didn't get to the end of Shirat Hazinu. I'll get to the end of Shirat Hazinu now. God's going to stay at the end of the year, no matter how bad you are, sooner or later I have to come and save you. But with the hope that you're going to fix your ways. It's never over. We've seen that theme over and over again. And I call this a safety net for the end of Chumash. We'll get to that in a minute. So Jennifer's question will lead right into the end of the year. Okay. Okay, as far as collective punishment, individual punishment, again, those are theological questions. I'm going to leave alone for now. But punishments are mostly, most in Chumash, in Avim, punishments are for the collective. Okay. And people, the example I'd like to bring all the time is from global warming. If two or three people recycle, but everyone else doesn't, when there's global warming, it's going to hit everybody, even the people who recycled. Okay. Okay. Now that question about God keeping his covenant, even though we're so bad, it's such a logical argument that led to Christianity. But of course, that's exactly what Chumash is saying. No matter how bad we are, the covenant can't be broken. We can get punished really bad. It can be hundreds of thousands of years, but sooner or later, there'll be a chance of tshuva. And that was part of the tshuva we saw earlier in Sefer Dvarim. Perek Dalet in Dvarim was the introduction to this idea. Okay. Now, the Torah that Moshe wrote down, that's too complicated for now. In other words, when Moshe writes the Torah, Pshat of Dvarim is, it's the laws of Dvarim. Most Parshanim and Chazal say it's the entire Torah that we call the Torah. but that's an argument within, you know, how to read the Pesukim at the end of Chumash. That needs a whole shir. And I'll explain how the rabbis read it later on. Now we have to get to the end of the Shira and why it's the end of Chumash. Let's go back to our English Hebrew Bible and back to Shira Tezinu in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Okay. At the end of the Shira, he goes on how bad it's going to be. And it goes like this. Okay. Amarti Afehem here. Amarti Afehem here. He explains the bad like Sodom and Amorah. We don't have time to go on that. Here. Pasuk Lamed Vav. Ki Adin Hashem Amo Ve'Alav David Necham. Ultimately, God will judge his people and he'll have Nechama, he'll have regret and take and remember his servants. Ki Rek Yozlat Yad Vefes Atzur Bazo. Sometimes you'll see things that are so bad that what? Have what's called Rahmanis. He'll have mercy on us because we've been punished so hard. Sometimes you punish someone too much. We saw that in Yeshayahu chapter 40, remember? You paid twice as much for your sins. So God's going to call us back and give us another chance. We see this in speaking of Yonah. And this phrase, okay? And the people finally ask, where's our God? And because the other nations say, where's their God? The other nations, things will be so bad. People say, you know, where's the God of this nation they're praying to? Sometimes God will have mercy and answer us anyhow, even though we're not deserving, but to get us started. Okay. And then he says, Ru Ata. Now look, I'm the one. Okay. There's no other God other than me. I'm the one in charge of death and life. Okay. I'm the one who can punish and I can make people healthy. And there's no one who can be saved from me. And then he goes on about God can, what he called, can come and save his people. And remember, I knew God, but I'm myself. And basically, ultimately, God can come and save us. He has the power to save us, but it'll be us, Rachamim. I want to show you an example. This will take us to after Yonah. This idea that sometimes God, even though we're not deserving, will have mercy on us and save us. We talk about this all the time, about the state of Israel after the Shoah. Am Yisrael was punished so harshly, maybe too harshly. But in light of that, God felt sorry for us and brought us back to our land. Again, I don't want to talk about all the theological projects, questions about the Shoah. There's tons of books on that. That's not our topic. I'm just trying to explain what Chumash is saying. And the theme of Hester Panim. I just think the people use the word Hester Panim out of its biblical context, where they don't have an answer. Instead of what you need to do is proper tshuva. Now, what we did wrong, you can argue, you know, what we have to fix. But to say that everything was fine and out of nowhere, God just says punish people for no reason, that's against, I know some people say that, but that's against what the Bible says. That's what against what Chumash says and what the Nevi'im say. It's like it's directly against that. But again, I don't want to talk about those theological problems. That needs a whole series. I'm just coming to show you what Chumash is saying. Now, this idea of Shai takes us to after Yonah. Ki adin Hashem amo v'yadav yitnecham, ki rekiv es, ki oslat yad v'afas tzur v'yazuv. In the book of Malachim, in 2 Kings, let's find it, Bible, Malachim Kings, 2 Kings chapter 14, I think it's still there. What happens? Okay, here. It's the middle of First Temple period. And in the 15th year of Amatziah, Ben Yoash, Yerobam, Ben Yoash, he was the fourth king of the house of Yehu, the second Yerobam. He's a very successful king. Rehoboam Ben Yoash became king of Israel for 40 years. Okay. Even though he was a bad king, okay, he continued with the Beit El and Dan, you know, the Bamot and Beit El and Dan. But nonetheless, he brought Israel's borders back to their greatest expanses, from all the way from into Syria, into Lebanon, all the way down to the Dead Sea. And Yonah, the prophet, Yonah of Sefer Yonah, gave a good prophecy for the Jewish people that we're going to be great again. Why did God do that, even though he did evil? The Navi has to explain, why is God good to us, even though we're bad? Because we suffered so much earlier from the nation of Aram after Yehu and Yoash, in the early reign of Yoash, Yerovim's father, things went really bad by Aram. We get wiped out by Aram. Ki ra'ah et oni Yisrael morem od, he saw difficult things were for Israel, their affliction. Ve'fes atzur ve'fes azu ve'nozel Yisrael. That's right up Shirat Hazinu. So what's Shirat Hazinu saying? We see from here. Sometimes as like as a safety net. Things might get so bad, we might not be deserving of God's help, but sometimes God will do a restart. And that's sometimes we have to pray for that as well. Maybe we're not doing a good job. Maybe we deserve even a harsher punishment. But we tell God, you know what? Give us another chance. Maybe being so strict isn't working. Maybe be nice to us once and we'll reciprocate. And that's why God is hoping that if he's good to Yerovam, and the other king that time was Uziel and Yerovam, we have a great time period of great wealth and prosperity. God's hoping if he's nice to us, maybe we'll reciprocate and serve God properly. And it works for 10, 20 years. And then the end of Uziel, the end of Rabam, we go astray again and we become affluent and obnoxious and haughty. And that brings, that's exactly the time period of Yishayel saying, now God's going to bring a new enemy ashore. And that's all the four prophets, Yishayel, Amos, Micha, and Hosea, all complain about that time period. Okay. But why did God save them here? So we see that Yonah is using the theme of Shirat HaZinu to explain why ultimately God can help us even though we're not deserving, because our covenant with God is eternal. Now, if I want to go back to my opening question, what Shirat HaZinu is about, that I think we saw, the main point of Shirat HaZinu is when things go wrong, don't blame God, blame yourselves. Okay, not you, yourself, individuals, but we as a nation, as a people. God treats us as a people, and we're all responsible for each other. But on top of that, no matter how bad things get, and that when God continues punishing, when punishment gets really bad, never interpret that as God's left you. Always, God's always there for you. He can always help you. There's always a chance of return, but you have to be deserving of it. So you can pray for proper tshuva. You can even pray for God, give us, we may not be ready yet, but help us out a little bit. Give us a head start. Give us a jump start, like you did in the time of Yerovam ben Yoash. So that was the background. By the way, with Yonah, Yonah is exactly that time period when Am Yisrael is doing great. Am Yisrael, at the same time when God calls upon Nineveh to fix their society, they listen. The same time period, God sends Yishayel, Hosea, and Amos to tell them to fix their society, and Am Yisrael doesn't listen. And then who becomes the enemy who punishes Am Yisrael for not answering the call to Tshuva? Is Ashur, whose capital was Nineveh. That's why he says Yonah is reluctant to go because he knows what Ashur is going to do to them later on. But thematically, at the same time period, there's affluence and haughtiness and corruption, both in wealthy Nineveh and also in wealthy Israel. God sends Yonah to tell the people of Ashur and Nineveh, the capital city, to do tshuva, and they listen. Am Yisrael doesn't listen. And then within 2-3 decades later, what does God do? He brings in Ashur, whose capital is Nineveh, to punish Am Yisrael for not answering the same call that the people in Nineveh. Later, Ashur becomes evil, just as bad. That's what Yonah's complaining about. Well, their tshuva was temporary, and they become evil again. But it's enough reason for God to use them to punish us. Later, he'll punish Ashur for what they did wrong. But that's going to give God a reason to use Ashur to punish us. That's the wider background of Yonah. Now, so we did both Haftarot today. For Yom Kippur. But I want to finish with, why is it an add-on? The message of Shirat is harsh. It's sort of like, but it's something there to make sure that Am Yisrael always knows never to give up hope. It's like a last-minute safety net. When a relationship is really breaking apart, it's the last thing we pull out of the bag to get the relationship back together again. So therefore, we have the Torah with all the warnings, with all the tochachot. But when it's all over, the Torah is over and all the warnings are over, Shirat HaZinu doesn't detail the reward and punishment. It just says when God brings the punishment he talked about in the book and things get really, really bad, don't blame God, blame yourselves. And there's a reason why God's bringing it. It should encourage you to do tshuva, but no matter how bad it gets, you're never forsaken. God will judge his people, but there's always recovery. And that's been Jewish history, pretty much. I mean, most of Jewish history, we've been in Shirat HaZinu mode more than Sefer Devarim mode of the good life. But we've, as people, we've never given up hope. We've waited thousands of years, and Baruch Hashem, we're back. But again, it could happen. We're still responsible. That we have to thank God for what we have, but realize the responsibility that we shouldn't lose it again. Okay. Anyway, that was my little message for Yom Kippur. I hope it wasn't too harsh. But this time of year, I guess it's okay to be harsh like that. And part of our prayers, again, part of our prayers is asking, sometimes we ask God, tell us what we're doing wrong. Give us an insight. Because sometimes you see what Yishael was saying. We think we're fine and we're not so good. Remember? We think we're looking for God. And God's saying, that's not what I'm looking for. And his mussar is like really harsh. And the fact that Chazal chose that haftarah for Shacharis, for Yom Kippur, I think it's just amazing. Basically, Yishael is mocking fast days and mocking Yom Kippur, but he's not mocking it. He wants to make sure the Yom Kippur doesn't become a ritual that just, oh, say these magic words and I'm forgiven. And then one last thing. Remember I told you that just one last thing about the main message of Yom Kippur. Remember we talked about key themes in Judaism that need their booster shot? Remember? Remembering the Exodus, that historical holiday. So we have to remember it every day of our life. Remember every day, but once a year we recharge our batteries. We talk about Nagara Koyim Echayacha. So we go crazy once a year to remember the Exodus, to remember it every day. In the same way, on Rosh Hashanah, once a year, we remember that God chose us to serve him. We're God's people. He's our boss. Yeah, remember Malchut Hashem. So we need to remember that we're chosen in Har Sinai to serve God, the responsibility. That's Malchiyot, and that God judges us in general. That's Rosh Hashanah. And that's something we need to remember every day. We do that when we say Shema, but once a year I need to recharge it. And this theme that no matter how bad you are, God can forgive. Remember what I call yes, he can, not yes, he will. God's midot of rachamim don't mean he will forgive you. It means he can forgive you. Knowing God can forgive you, that applies every day of the year. But the knowledge that God can forgive you and it's never over, that knowledge that I can do better, we can do better, that's critical for recovery. And that keeps Am Yisrael going. That's a theme that's every day of the year. Once a year, I need that booster shot. There's always, God is always willing to accept tshuva, but it has to be true tshuva. So I fast to remember there's always room for tshuva. God can forgive. If he will forgive, that's up to God. But knowing he can forgive, that's never over. That's so important in not just day-to-day Judaism, generation-to-generation Judaism, that it's such a big theme, like it's just like the Exodus and just like Har Sinai. Therefore, it needs to be remembered every day, but once a year it needs a booster shot to make sure it's remembered every day. So I think that's Yom Kippur. Again, it's on the anniversary of when we received God's Midat Abrahamim. That was a different share about what happened on Yom Kippur itself, on the 10th of Tishrei. Okay, so we'll stop here. And everyone have Gemar Chatima Tova. I'll look at the chat. I got a couple more chats, but I think that's just the end. Again, some of the theological questions are really good, but out of the scope of this year, I brought up things which have big theological implications, but that's not my, that requires a lot of, much more serious discussion. Amaya's question, when do we learn that inflicting our nefesh doesn't mean not to eat? That ask your local rabbi. There's a whole discussion halacha on that. Because it didn't say, I'll just give you an example. On the last 40 days, when Moshe goes up, he says, Lechem lo chalti, mayim lo shatiti. When Moshe goes up to get sechem lechot, he doesn't eat or drink. And many things we do on Yom Kippur, the rituals, we live Moshe receiving the sechem lechot. Moshe going up to Har Sinai to receive sechem lechot is like the Kohen Gadol going to the Kodesh Kodeshim. Moshe coming down with his face shining. It's Mari Kohen going coming out, not eating, not drinking, no one going in with them. It's a whole shir, but the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol is sort of reliving Moshe receiving the second luchot. So if Chazal understand Inui Nefesh being similar to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai, it makes a lot of sense. Why did you just get a pass? Joel's question is, that's a theological question, but that's exactly, it makes so much sense, your question, that why doesn't God pick another nation? That's why Chumash is screaming, no, he won't. We're chosen forever. It's always our destiny. If we live up to it, that's up to us. But that's what we need to be doing. About biblical, rabbinic theology is based on biblical theology. But to understand rabbinic theology, it's got to begin with biblical theology and then a level on top of it. Again, that's the theological question, which needs a whole shir. Okay, thank you. It's fine. And, this brings up Holocaust questions and things like that. I'm not saying it requires discussion, but not in 2-3 minutes. It requires like a whole series and someone more qualified than me to deal with those theological questions. I'm reading Chumash and saying, what's the message of Chumash? That's the basis. how the rabbis interpret, how it's applied to, how the prophets apply it, how Tehillim applies it, and how rabbis apply it over the years in relation to historical events. That's a whole long, that's a doctorate. Okay. Anyway, again, okay. Everyone, Gmar Chativa Tova, and everyone should have a,
thank you.
First, we'll go next week. Next week, it won't be so heavy. Yeah.
There is shir next Sunday, just in case.
Next Sunday.
I'm just letting people know. And of course, three shirim tomorrow, 11 a.m. Amarti Bivrit, Tshuva Ben Adam L'Chaverot, 11 a.m. Benaya Mitzner is going to be giving. You know him? I think I asked you if you know him. I think he learned in Gush a number of years ago. He's now in Eretz Chemda. He won the press for original writing a number of years ago anyway. So he's giving a shir tomorrow, Bivrit, on Tshuva Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, and that's at 11 a.m., 6 p.m. in Israel, and then at 1 p.m., Rebecca Winter will be giving a shiur on Kain and Hevel and the freedom to choose in the face of temptation, Tshuva through stories in Tanakh. That is at 1 p.m., and then at 8:30 p.m., the last shiur before Yom Kippur, Mark Shapiro on continuous series, Great Rabbinic Big Thinkers, Rav Shaul Lieberman. And then after Yom Kippur, I'll be giving the shiur Friday morning on Parshat Hazinu, different from, as I said before, from what Rabbi Liebtag spoke about on Parshat Hazinu. Lots of things, but you're right. What you said at the beginning is very true. Yes, the average person on the street for Hazinu is about, it's very hard to you know, put it into one, people get lost a little bit, but okay, thank you. Anyways, want to wish everybody well. Gmar Chatima Tova, everybody be well, and we look forward to learning with you soon, and we look forward to learning with your friends. So please invite a friend. Everybody has, that's your job, to invite at least one new person to attend at least one class, and then if they like it, they'll come back. Okay, so thank you very much. Have a great day, everybody. Bye-bye.